This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. For 10% off your first air purifier, visit molecule.com. That's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com and enter the promo code Andrew10 at checkout. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by my tag partner, Mr. Paul Theroad. How you doing, Paul?
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good? How you feeling today? Are you feeling good today?
No. It's been kind of like curiously busy, despite the fact that nothing should be happening right now.
Just in life in general?
Just, yeah, everything.
Just, you know, everything. Everything is a little weird.
Why do you ask? Do I look like I need help?
No, you look better than last week. Last week, you need a little help.
Yeah, last week. I can't even remember last week. What was happening last week?
I don't know. You were a little frazzled.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It was a good show, though. We had a lot of fun last week. It was the week of CES, which I kind of want to touch on a little bit and to see if there's any big winners. What was the big story out of CES? We started it at the beginning of CES, the first day. Yep. And we'll comment about it. I want to get your opinion of it and also a whole bunch of other stuff. But before we continue, I want to remind everybody, for all things Paul, you can go to Theroad.com. Great stuff on there. I was just on there. What article did I just finish reading here? Hold on. I have it highlighted. You were talking about PC sale growth.
Yep.
Great articles over there. You and Brad do a show titled Goodbye Windows 7, which is what we're going to talk about a lot today. How the importance of Windows 7, how it changed computing for a lot of people. It really became the de facto operating system of an entire era.
Those two stories are interrelated, by the way, the whole PC sale thing and Windows 7, so we'll get to that.
So we're going to talk about that, but of course you could go to Theroad.com, become a Theroad Premium member for Theroad Premium content. You just pay a couple bucks a day. What's your current rate right now?
A couple bucks a day. That'd be an expensive service. A
couple cents. A couple pennies.
A couple bucks a day.
A couple bucks a year. A month.
Yeah.
What are you down to? You're at $49, $59?
Sale price is $48. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, $48. Yeah. You got a sale. You got 35 plus years of trusted voice of technology. That being you, Paul, you're dating yourself. You get access to Theroad Premium articles and a whole lot more. $48, that's a couple cents a day, which is not bad at all. Not a bad deal at all. And great stories, great articles, and people that you could trust in technology.
Not to jump into this, but I'm not normally comfortable promoting anything, I guess. But one of the other reasons to join Theroad Premium is that there tends to be a higher level of discourse in the premium comments. And in the premium articles in particular. And I think, you know, I just written something this week about the kind of toxicity that we all deal with online. And I don't know what the fix is for that. But I think one of the nice side effects of the premium stuff is that it's less of a problem.
It's a much cleaner and very engaging group of people, you know, throughout premium members.
Yeah. Smart people. Yeah.
So I want to talk about Windows 7. It is the end of support for Windows 7, and I kind of wanted to kind of go down, because last week we were talking about when you first came on the show, and it was probably around the time Windows 7 got launched.
I think it was that long ago, really. I guess it could be.
I think we figured out that you joined in 2010. So it was, it was close.
Okay.
You joined the show in 2010. You became an official co-host in 2011.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, 2011 is notable for a number of reasons, but one of them is that was also the peak of the PC industry, right?
Yeah.
That was the year that the PC market sold more units than ever before or since. It's all been kind of downhill since then, Andrew, for all of us, you know.
I know. What do you think the decline? It was just mobile computing, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It really was what changed it. But
it is that simple. Yeah.
I want to go back to Windows 7 because it really was, you know, we have to remember what Windows Vista was expected to be and what it turned out to be with that initial launch. And we also, you know, the whole thing about Vista, it's fascinating because we remember it a lot worse than it was. But it was more the 64-bit era that was the problem.
Right. And there are so many things in the history of Windows, in particular, the history of Microsoft more generally, that I still, things could have gone so differently. And Windows Vista, you know, obviously started as Longhorn. Longhorn was revealed to the world in 2003. And then Microsoft eventually figured out that they couldn't ship it. It just was never going to work. And
why?
It was really a far-reaching thing. They were going to replace the display subsystem, the communication subsystem, the file system. You know, it was a time too. You know, we have to think about, like, this is pre-mobile, right? So the PC industry was still the center of personal computing. It was everything. Apple was trying to make a comeback at the time with the Mac, not with the iPod or, although the iPod had happened by this point, you know, or the iPhone certainly, or the iPad or whatever. PC was the center of everything. And on the Apple side, Apple had done some interesting things with the Mac, right? There was the accelerated graphics they had, the translucency effects, the operating system. A lot of people were complaining that Microsoft was really far behind. And Longhorn, you know, part of that whole push was to make it, you know, make Windows kind of catch up. And of course, what they finally shipped in 2006 or 2007, depending on if you were a business or a consumer, was a very stripped down version of what they had promised. And it still didn't run really well on people's PCs. And everyone was freaking out because this hardware accelerated graphics thing they all wanted, supposedly, now they couldn't run it. And they were all really mad about it.
Well, I remember the big deal about WinFS and how it was supposed to be the management, you know, the file management of the of the future. And it really, it's interesting because we didn't get exactly that, but we did get something.
Well, you know what we got was indexing, it kind of came in fits and starts. By the way, not to make this like an Apple thing, but I mean, Apple also in Mac OS, I think it was in Tiger, but not that it matters. But right around the time that Microsoft was pushing Longhorn and that vision of, you know, WinFS and Instant, the idea, but, you know, WinFS, it was a database-backed file system. One of the ideas was that you wouldn't just search for a file name, but you could search for within the files, right? You could search for contents or meaning, you know, and it was kind of an interesting thing. Apple released a simpler version of that in, I think in Tiger, but the version doesn't matter. I think it was Sherlock first, and then it eventually became, what do you call search? The instant search feature in the Mac today. I don't even remember.
Spotlight.
You know, what is it?
Spotlight.
Spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing. Like, it will search for file names. It will search for documents. It will search within documents. It will search for contacts. It will do all kinds of things, you know. And Microsoft eventually came to understand, as Apple did, that the functionality that they wanted from WinFS was possible without stripping out the operating system and the file system and replacing it with something completely different. So,
well,
it was one of many avenues they kind of went down for a long, long time, and then eventually realized, like, this is pointless.
Here's a quote from Bill Gates in 2013. He cited WinFS as his greatest disappointment at Microsoft.
Yeah.
And that the idea of WinFS was ahead of its time, which will reemerge. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't.
It'll reemerge.
It's not going to. So, no, I mean, look, there are things that don't matter too much to this audience. Don't matter too much to me. But, I mean, one of the things that people might remember if they were in the Microsoft sphere at the time was Microsoft was going to replace the back end of everything with this SQL-based database, right? So one of the things they had was they had an Exchange email server that was using a Jet database engine. Microsoft wanted to replace that. That proved to be too difficult. And then, of course, the file system, same thing. It's just too big and ponderous, and it doesn't really scale to these types of applications. Obviously, a SQL database or their SQL Server database in particular is good for certain things. But, you know, flash forward to today, Microsoft also has other databases, right, for cloud use. They still obviously have SQL Server. They have SQL Azure services and so forth. But, I mean, I don't, again, this was that period of time, I would say, between the release of Windows XP and the release of Windows 7, which is almost a decade, was a period of great problem for Microsoft. You know, the antitrust stuff, they couldn't ship Longhorn. They released different versions of Windows XP. They had the weirdness where the netbook took off right when Windows Vista was coming out, which for the day was kind of big and heavy, and not only couldn't run on tiny little netbooks, but couldn't run on a lot of normal PCs. They had to release a new version of XP after they had shipped Vista. I mean, it was just, you know, and of course, as you get toward the end of this time, Windows 7 came out in 2009. The iPod had transformed Apple in that decade. They shipped the iPhone in 2007. It became a blockbuster smash in, we'll say 2009, actually, you know, once it kind of caught up to the stuff that it didn't have and then expanded to different carriers and around the world, it was a blockbuster, you know, changed everything. And yeah, that's the world, you know, that was the world that's what predated Windows 7, essentially. That was those were the conditions. They tried and failed with Zune. They later tried and failed with Windows Phone, Microsoft, that is, you know. They went down all these avenues. The tablet PC failed. Windows Media Center failed. You know, they tried and you know, vestiges of those things kind of continued, of course. But that was the end. I mean, I think Windows 7 is the end of that era. It's the last version of Windows that was created for PCs and only for PCs. There were no other things. It was just for PCs.
Well, it's the last the last traditional operating system for Microsoft. I mean, listen, here's the thing. Mac, Apple's still doing it.
Yeah, but you know what? Apple's still doing the Mac, you mean? Like, the
The Mac OS, yeah.
Yeah, right. In other words, the Mac OS of today is very similar to the Mac OS that competed with Longhorn. You know,
way more similar than Windows would be, you know, at this point.
Yeah, because Apple had great success with devices, and so their mobile stuff, which was humongous, and correctly so, you know, they didn't need to bring that stuff to the Mac. The Mac was is still a much smaller market, so that was the direction they went. And, you know, I whether they were right or not is kind of one of those weird things to say. Like, it was, companies play to their strengths. You know, it's that when you're a hammer, everything's a nail kind of thing. Apple saw great success with the iPod, which was a device and not a Mac.
Yeah.
They saw even greater success with the iPhone. And that kind of set them down this path where that became the focus. Microsoft wasn't able to build off the success of Windows to enter successfully into many markets. I mean, you could make the argument that they were successful on server. But then again, you know, you kind of look at where the world went. It's kind of a Linux world on server, isn't it? You know, in cloud services too.
Yeah, more and more, really.
Yeah, so they certainly had some success there, but
I just find the entire the transition from Windows 7 to now, I find it fascinating because Windows 8 really if Windows 8 didn't happen the way that it did. Yeah, if it wasn't as aggressive as for change as it was, I don't know if Windows 10 would have had the success that it did.
Yes. I mean, so, yeah, God, there's so many different ways to look at this. You know, one of the things I will always feel bad about for Microsoft, whatever that means, to feel bad for a company, but to feel bad for the people who strive to make this stuff, you know, is that Windows Vista was something they tried to blow everybody away and make this incredible thing, and they failed.
Yeah.
And I was worried after Windows Vista they would never try again. And that Windows 7, you know, for as good as it is, it's just an evolution of Windows Vista. They kind of fixed the problems. They moved on. Great. Neat. You know, Windows 10 is kind of the same system. You know, Windows 8, they saw how the world was going, right? They saw that mobile was happening. They knew that the days of the PC were numbered, that this market was going to contract dramatically because of mobile. How do we ride that wave? It has to be PC based. You know, that's where the only place we're really successful. And I give them credit for trying. I mean, as insane as Windows 8 is, or was, or whatever. I mean,
it is insane. It was insane.
It is, but I give them credit for trying. Where I would criticize that group of people, the people that made Windows 8, Steven Sinofsky and his various cohorts, is that they just did it wrong, and that the culture of Microsoft at the time was such that a person as divisive as him could be in charge of everything and not work with their mobile groups, like the people who eventually made Windows Phone, and make a cohesive platform. They just made something that was kind of similar to Windows Phone on top of Windows, but not compatible, not the same. Not the same for developers, not the same for apps, not the same for users. I mean, that was a huge strategic mistake. I don't mean to suggest that if they had done it just right, Microsoft would be ruling the world now instead of Apple. I think this thing was still going to happen anyway.
I mean, this is fascinating, though. You look at market share, right? And then we got to take a little break and thank our sponsor. But I want people to think about this. This is as of December 2019, right?
Yep.
Windows 10 market share. You tell me if this is accurate. This is based on StatCounter's global stats. 65%, 65.4% Windows 10. 26.79% Windows 7. Okay, here's where it gets interesting. Windows 8.1, 4.87. Windows 8, 1.29. And Windows XP, 1.29. XP and Windows 8 have the same market share. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so Windows 8 is the Vista of its age. If you were to look at a similar thing, say 6 years earlier, that's where Vista would have been. You know, it becomes this kind of a footnote thing. When I don't remember the numbers, but when Windows XP expired finally late in the game, like 2 years too late, there were still hundreds of millions of people using that. When Windows 7 retires this year, there are still hundreds of millions. 26% StatCounter, I think net market share puts it closer to 30-something%, but whatever, we'll say a little less than a third.
By the way, those are global numbers. Global numbers. U.S. numbers are very different. We got a very different conversation for U.S. numbers. 75%. Well,
whatever, worldwide, whatever, it's fine. But the point is, it's still hundreds of millions of people. So here we are. This is the day where Windows 7 is heading out to pasture. And there are still hundreds of millions of people on it. I think the thing that separates Windows 7 from its predecessors on the day of expiration, right, on the day that support will no longer be provided, is that having been using it now for the past few weeks, it still feels modern. It still runs all the applications. You know, there are no examples of anything that doesn't work in Windows 7 that matter. It's not insecure. It's not insecurable, you know. I mean, it will become insecure by virtue of the fact that Microsoft has just stopped supporting it. That's the only reason. There aren't any inherent security problems with it compared to Windows 10. It's interesting. It's just different. And, you know, compared to the past, the PC market has matured and Windows has matured, and all that mobile stuff they added in 8 and then and again in 10 has basically not mattered in the slightest.
Yeah. I find it very interesting, just how the market share is and everything. We're going to touch on this a little bit more, but before we continue, I want to thank our great sponsor, and it's Molecule. This thing is unbelievable. So I live in a very old house, and I tell the story all the time. My house is 120-something years old, and no matter how much work we do in this house, it's still a very dusty house. I have terrible environmental allergies. Absolutely, I mean, just abysmal. And I get really any kind of dust or pollen or pine. Like, we can't have a pine tree in the house. We can't have a Christmas tree, spruce, whatever you have. I can't have it because I'm very sensitive to the smell and everything. So
you hate Christmas.
Because I hate Christmas. Bah humbug. Now, Easter eggs, I'm okay with. Right. But here's a great thing. Molecule is a one-of-a-kind air purifier. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But before I do, 10% off your first air purifier when you visit molecule.com. That's molekule.com. And you enter the promo code Andrew10 when you check out. Now, the thing that separates them is the technology that they use. They have breakthrough Pico technology across a range of their products. So it collects the air. It's not a HEPA filter. It's a very different type of filtration that they do, where it gets particles that traditional filters wouldn't get. And it's given allergy and asthma sufferers around the world a whole new experience. And I can vouch for this because I use this thing to the point that I have now bought a second one. I bought the Air Mini, the Molecule Air Mini, which is for smaller rooms. I have a big one in my living room. I have a second one in my basement, a big one in my basement, and I have a little one for upstairs. These are unbelievable air purifiers. I know multiple people that have purchased it in my personal life, and they absolutely love it because it works. It's not outdated HEPA filters that collects large pollutants, but they miss all the little things like mold, viruses, bacteria, volatile organic chemicals. You know, Paul, you have the same thermostat. I don't know if you hooked it up, the glass thermostat.
No. No, I can't. It just really.
Oh yeah, you don't have the three cables. So I have it, and I hooked mine up, and I really honestly I go based on its readings, and it actually tells you the quality of air based on volatile organic chemicals in the air or just dust or pollen. It's able to kind of it has a sensor in it, so it knows. And whenever I turn the molecule on, my air quality goes through the roof. When it's off, you could see it going to poor or fair and not great. So you could see a instant difference, you know, within a couple hours of running this. I absolutely love it. I'm a big fan of it. And you guys should check it out too. Go to molekule.com. That's MOLEKULE.com and use the promo code Andrew10 at checkout. You get 10% off your first air purifier. I vouch for them. They're great. I use them. If I could have it in every room, I would. That's molekule.com. So, Paul.
Yes.
So what does this mean now that they're ending support? How do you think this is going to change the market share in PC sales?
So this is something I'm struggling to try to understand and explain, right? So I wrote an article today. Well, I wrote two articles today about PC market share, right? And so what does the impact of Windows 7 retiring, how does that impact PC sales, if at all, right? One thing we learned this week is that PC sales last year rose 1.9%, which is not anything. But yeah, after 7 years of decline, honestly, we're going to take 1.9% and declare that a victory. The problem is that represents the bump that Windows 7 retiring brought, right? So we'll probably see something similar this year because there are still more Windows 7 PCs to come. And
by looking at the stats, there was a bump in September 2019. For Windows 10 market share it became more drastic in September.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the year, which I find interesting.
Right.
So whatever.
Yeah. The end of the year is actually the only reason it was a plus for 2019, which is fine. Doesn't really matter when it happened, but that's true. That's not much of a bump, right? I just said there are hundreds of millions of people out there, right? So what's going on? I think this is just an indication of how the PC market's changed. You know, you kind of have to look at a calendar and think about the dates at which various versions of Windows were released and when various versions of Windows were retired. Windows 7, when it arrived, instituted the greatest jump in PC sales that had ever occurred. And then Windows 8 came and it's been going down ever since.
But I mean, a lot of that is attributed to more people becoming technologically comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of it has to do with the fact that Windows 7 arrived right before the iPhone.
Vista was a travesty. I mean, did you think that played a part?
Yeah, Vista was a travesty, but you know what? PC sales rose every year that Vista was out. The PC market would give anything to have those sales back. Like, that growth rate would be amazing today. It's just, you know, comparatively, yes, it was a travesty to the time. Compared to what's happened since, I think we would look back fondly on that, you know. Yeah. But it was absolutely a disaster. But it didn't ruin Windows. The problem for Windows 8 was that Windows 8 was launched in the wake of the iPhone, in the wake of the iPad, and it was like they were just getting everything wrong. It's like you have to get this right. This is the transition that's important, and they completely flubbed it. And so here we are. You know, the market is what it is. But I the problem for the PC market is with these hundreds of millions of people out in the world, you know, where do they go next? I think a lot of them aren't going anywhere next, right?
Yeah.
They're either going to just hang on to Windows 7. We know that all of the top browsers will support Windows 7 at least for 18 months. They supported Windows XP for, I think it was 2 years. So there's a couple of years there. We know that businesses have 3 years, that Microsoft will support them if they pay. So that's going to happen. We know that Microsoft and third-party AV vendors will support Windows 7 with antivirus, anti-malware updates for, we don't know how long, but for some amount of time. So I think, you know, that will happen. I think some people will not need to get another PC. They've moved on. They're using an iPad. They're using a Mac. They're using a phones for everything.
I mean, it's becoming, for the consumer, I'm not talking about the work environment, but as far as a normal computer user, it's a niche device now. If you think about what you get done on a PC compared to what you get done on a phone or even a tablet, it's other than specific needs, why do you need a PC?
And even those specific needs are actually kind of dwindling. So, for example, one thing I've been working on for the past 2+ months, and I never intended to spend this much time on this, but I've been writing like this notepad clone, right? And one of the things I still haven't completely solved is printing. And the reason is printing in the particular technology that I'm using is very, very difficult. And I have to tell you, I think about this a lot because I don't think anyone really prints anymore. I don't think printing is an important function for this application. But printing is one of those reasons that people kept PCs around for a while.
Yeah.
I was thinking this past week, my wife and I went to a movie the other day for the first time in a year or more. We don't go to movies. I don't think I could have printed. Well, actually, I guess I could have. But, printing like a pass for like a movie, for a museum, for an airplane or whatever, it's not necessary anymore. You know, this stuff is all on your phone now.
Even with work stuff, I always thought I needed my computer to print. I can't remember the last time I printed anything via a computer. I always print on my phone. Like, I'll give an example. I have the Apple card. The Apple card, right? And this speaks volumes. I have the Apple card, and with the Apple card, the statement comes on your phone. So you could either transfer it or email it to yourself, or you could print right there from your phone. I printed right from my phone.
Okay.
Another thing.
I mean, I don't think printing is a big function, but yes, now you can print from, you can print from anything now. So it kind of eliminates one of the reasons why someone would have kept a PC around for a while. I still feel, for certain tasks, obviously, if you're going to write at any great length, you're going to work in a spreadsheet. And then the high-end things, like if you're going to, edit video or play a game or, play a 3D, AAA game.
Yeah.
You want the big screen, you want the keyboard, you want the mouse, but those are kind of niche-y things for most people. I mean, it's just not as usual it used to be. So that's the problem. I mean, at least when XP went out, well, actually they faced that problem with XP kind of went out right at the beginning of this phase. Windows 7 is going out right at the end of this phase. And now we have, Windows 10, which is going to just be kept around for a long time. They've pretty much guaranteed that we're not going to get the other end of this bump, which is like new versions of Windows. Like Windows 7 was a really big bump for PCs. By the way, Windows Vista was too. I can't explain that, but it was.
I guess the promise, right? The promise of what it was supposed to do.
Well, at least with Windows Vista, you could make the argument. You want the glass effects? You're probably going to have to get a new computer.
But I mean, technologically, from Windows 98, if you think about it, Windows XP, right? Yeah. Actually, not so much from XP to Vista, but XP to 7 was a large change as far as ease of use. Things just work better. Yeah.
I think in the XP timeframe, XP came with wireless network for the first time, wireless networking. They had versions of XP for tablets and versions of XP for media centers. By the time Windows Vista came, and it was the case with 7 as well, those things were just built into the product. And so they stopped differentiating that stuff, and that was just a feature of PCs. Like, you didn't have to buy a special kind of a thing to make that stuff happen. So, there was a maturity there, but I don't know. It's such a different world. I mean, it's impossible to look at Windows 7 today and not sort of see that divide, see Windows 7 as the end of the line, for this world, not just where PCs were on this upward growth trajectory, although that was true, but that PCs were PCs. They were just PCs. Well, Microsoft never uses the term PC. anymore. No. They talk about devices. They talk about Windows running on everything from, well, not phones anymore, but tablets and IoT to big screen devices like Surface Hub. It runs on Xbox, runs, you know, it's like this, it's kind of lost its identity as being what the thing I always cared about, which was just this kind of general purpose productivity platform for PCs specifically. And yeah, it's going away.
Well, you look at I call it when you brought up Windows XP, I call it the travesty of 2005 for me, where my RAID collapsed.
Yeah.
I had a RAID 0 and I didn't have redundancy and I lost everything.
Oh boy.
I'm still scorned by this. Still so upset over this, but you know, like you don't have these issues, and obviously technology has improved. So the Windows is far more leaner and more efficient than it ever was. That plays a big role in PC sales. You know, before I truly believed every 3 years it was time for an upgrade, but you really, it's not the case anymore.
So by the way, Windows 7 was also the first version of Windows that had lower system requirements than its predecessor.
Yes, and that's why
something
you can run it.
Kind of continued. Again, it was kind of a low bar, you know, like Windows Vista was a little top heavy, but and it was an obvious thing to fix. But that's something they've continued for sure. I don't know. This is a problem. I really like Windows 10. There are obviously some high level areas where I feel like they have. They being Microsoft have really kind of screwed the pooch. And I think one of the problems they faced was they understood that people were not going to be upgrading PCs every 3 years or 5 years. It was 7, 8, 10 or never. And so they didn't have that reliable annual or, you know, every 3 year income to, you know, anymore. So how do we make up for that? And what you look at is like these post monetization solutions, you know, like Apple's done with their services. Same thing. They're facing the same problem. How do we keep the revenue gravy train rolling when people are only buying iPhones once every 5 or 6 years, not every 2 years? It's the same thing. And so, unfortunately, in Microsoft's case, they've gone with built-in crapware. They've gone with built-in ads. They fired their testing team, and they're using built-in telemetry.
Yeah.
They've just done some things that are kind of crappy, you know, and it's unfortunate. So, you know, Windows 7 is a little hobbled by that. And I'll just say, you know, again, I've been using Windows 7 recently. It fails the upgrade test, Windows 10 does, because one of the things I've always said about Windows in particular, but I would say this about any kind of software, is you can rate the quality of an upgrade by going back to the previous version and you'll miss things, right? And if you miss things from the new one, then you can tell the new one's a good upgrade. Now, granted, the previous version of Windows 10 is actually Windows 8, but the fact that an older version of Windows, in this case Windows 7, is actually in many ways cleaner and better than the current version doesn't speak well to what's happened since. And I don't know that that's ever, I don't think that's ever happened in the history of Windows, even though I know people will point at Windows Me or something or Vista and say, well, that one was a piece of crap. And it's like, well, yeah, certainly they both had issues, but they also both had like these major improvements that I think you know, were more important than the deficiencies. In Windows 10's case, it's like, yeah, you can make that argument, you know, but it's a little tough that it's just not obviously better in every way like it should be.
Yeah. Since we're on the Microsoft topic today, Microsoft previews the next major launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Launcher Preview is now available in the Google Play Store. And this kind of gives us a peek, right, at what to expect from them moving forward. Because it's not a bad launcher. I mean, it actually...
No, I actually really like it. The launch is tough for people, you know, for Microsoft fans in some ways, because obviously a lot of them were Windows Phone fans. And it's not Windows Phone. It doesn't have live tiles. You know, it doesn't have these activity hubs and things. And you know, people miss that stuff, and I get that. The mobile world has kind of moved on too. So I think the important thing for people to understand, and I think it's finally happening, is that the Microsoft Launcher represents Microsoft's thinking today, not its thinking from 2010 or you know, 2009 or whatever year that was. But rather, this is what the vision looks like today, and I think it's a good one. I think they have a nice design language. I think they have a nice look and feel. It's a pretty launcher.
Yeah,
very. The preview version is not feature complete. I mean, there's stuff missing still because they're just, you know, they're kind of testing it. But I think this thing is in a good place. And with Microsoft finally coming out with their own phone this year,
this kind of,
I think it's important that they get this right because, yeah, it's going to ship with this thing. So
I'm still really hopeful and adamant that they will release a normal smartphone, not a, you know, a two screened or a bend. They're going to release something like this with it. And I'm a big fan of that. And I don't know if it's a disruptor. I doubt it. But the fact that, you know, they have a partnership with Android, they are releasing an Android phone.
Yep.
And they have a launcher, makes a lot of sense to them.
You know what? As long as it doesn't detract from anything, there's nothing wrong with it. And there's no reason they can't do this and have it be a successful small business. And that's why I agree with you. I think they should do an Android phone. It's not going to be the next Samsung Galaxy S, whatever. It's not going to beat the market lead. Like, that's not really the point. But
how do you become that? You know, let's say you're Microsoft. How do you become that?
Why do you have to become that? I mean, what if you could just have a successful hardware business that makes money and it satisfies some needs for some important customers like businesses, right? There might be enterprises that want to standardize on the Microsoft stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't have to be in the top five, you know. Surface is, by the way, is not in the top anything. Surface PCs don't make any charts, except once in a while randomly. I mean, if you look at like the market share stats from last year, Microsoft doesn't show up anywhere. Does that mean the business is a disaster? It's like are they being defeated or something? Like, no, those are still great computers. Like, people who buy those things love them, and for good reason. They're fantastic. They should do that with phones too. There's no reason not to.
I mean, they could get some market share. Have a decent camera, good camera.
But it doesn't matter.
What would it mean to the market if they put out the best Android phone on the market? I mean,
you know what? There are things that Microsoft absolutely gets wrong in the PC space, but there are things that it really gets right. And I think it serves as an inspiration for other PC makers in this case to do some things that are kind of interesting. I think that they're kind of doing that with the web browsers right now. They're not the only one, but they are taking this Chromium base and they're turning it into a better browser that's kind of de-Googlified or whatever. And I think there's something smart about that. I think they could serve the same role in Android as well. And even if they're not in the top, you know, five or whatever, if all they do is inspire other people to do the right thing there, that's fantastic. That's actually part of the problem I have with Windows 10, by the way. Remember, Microsoft used to have this signature PC program that served as an inspiration for how a PC should be. And one of the big things was this thing is lean and mean. It's got exactly the right drivers. It has no crap on it. And what does Microsoft do now? They put crap right in Windows 10. I mean, they had it. They had it right, and they completely reversed on that, and it's sad.
I do think that it made it, though, those signature series devices really did help clean it up. But you're right. I don't know why they have all that crapware now. I mean, I know why, because they make money from it, but
that's why.
it totally goes against everything.
It's because people don't buy PCs anymore.
Yeah, you know? And they have to. They have to subsidize it some way.
As much as they used to, yeah.
It's fascinating to me how they've changed. But, you know, going forward, we'll see what happens. I'm excited for this launcher. I got to install it on my Samsung. I got to wipe that thing out and start over. It's giving me a lot of issues. Let's talk about CES a little bit. Is anything stand out to you by the end of CES?
I mean, aside from the sheer futility of it. Well, I don't know. I don't remember if we talked about this. There were a couple of health related things that I think are kind of interesting. You're familiar with the company I think it's called Withings.
Yes.
Right. So was temporarily part of Nokia, but now it's back its own company. They have an interesting line of smartwatches. They announced new versions of those. I think that's an interesting approach because rather than coming out with yet another Apple Watch clone, these guys are making what look like beautiful round analog watches. And they have kind of a round digital part that is connected to all these sensors and does all this testing. And so the new version does the ECG or EKG stuff. It does whatever the sleep apnea testing is called. It's not just VO2, but it's some kind of it tests for sleep apnea basically. In addition to all the other stuff they already do. I think that kind of stuff is huge. And it's not just that company. I think the fitness wearable health related stuff, I think is really important. I think that's going to be a big thing for this year. I'm starting to think that the voice command in the house, like, hey, name of thing, do this, is, I'm not saying it's never going to take off, but I find myself drifting away from it explicitly. Like, I'm actively considering getting rid of all of that stuff in my house. Like, I really don't like it.
What don't you like?
I don't like the voice speaker stuff. I don't.
That it's listening or that.
Yeah, I don't like any of it because it's all. See, the problem is the companies that are successful in this market, which is basically Amazon and Google, are successful because they know too much about you and that it's all about selling something, either an ad or literally a product that you need. And I find that to be very invasive and I'm getting a little tired of it. I also think that the functionality is not really there yet and that this hope for natural conversations has not really occurred, that we're not living in that Star Trek future. Mm. There are also the other thing I'd say is like we have a couple of smart displays. We really like those. We like those because they're smart picture frames. That's all they are. And yeah. I say that like that's bad, but that's an incredible functionality. I really like that. I want to get out of these big tech ecosystem data privacy funnels. I just feel like this is a problem. I want, you know, like if I want to talk to something, like if I want to talk to an assistant, it's on my phone. So it's always nearby. I mean, I think we talked about this. One of the goofy things when you have a bunch of speakers in your house is you'll say, like in my case, I'll be like, hey, you know, G, whatever the thing is, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? And it will pick up on my phone and then it will answer out at some speaker in my kitchen.
Huh.
And it's like, what?
Well, here's the thing.
What,
so
why is...
I have the Google Hub, the Nest yeah. Hub. And yep. What I do like about that is that I could turn it off. I could turn the speaker, the microphone off on it. It has a switch.
So, by the way, I just did this. Okay. So I have the Lenovo one, but whatever. I don't know how it works
Same
on
thing,
Google.
Yeah.
But there's a hardware switch.
Yeah.
You can turn off the microphone. Neat. So then I thought, well, and it says mic muted on the screen. Like you can't get rid of it. Like it says it on the screen. It kind of, it's okay. I can deal with that. But I have these Google Home speakers. So I have a pair of minis in the living room. I have a pair of the regular Google Homes in the kitchen. They're stereo pairs. That's why I have two of each. And I went into the living room and I'm like, there must be a way to mute this thing. And there is. There's a hardware switch in the back. But then it has four orange lights on the top that stay on. So we're watching TV at night and it's like four orange lights twice in front of the TV. And I'm like, how do you turn that off? The answer is you don't. You unplug it. So I unplugged them. So then I went into the kitchen. I was like, all right, how do we do that? Same thing. You get a ring of orange lights on the thing. And then plus it's really annoying when if you turn off a microphone and something, it's like, the microphone is off.
Yeah.
You won't be able to blah, blah, blah. Until, you know, and it's like, you know what? I think I just want to get rid of these things. We have like one of the newer Sonos speakers that has Google. You could have Alexa or Google built into it. I chose Google because that's the stuff I use. And my experience with it is the app I listen to podcasts with doesn't connect with it. Oh, so I'll great. Actually put the phone on top of the speaker. I will turn the microphone on and off in doing that, and it will tell me that it's doing it. And the only interaction I have with this thing via voice is that. And it's it talking to me because I have turned on or turned off its microphone. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to turn this off because I don't need this stupid thing listening to me.
I turn mine off all the time. You know what I do love, though? I do like the Nest Hub. I like that I have the display there, and there's so many moments that
I like
my
display.
Wife, because my wife and I, we like to cook, right? We like to cook together and have a glass of wine. That's our thing that we do. And, you know, we're listening to music, and then something will come up and like, oh my God, did you see this video? I pull it up on my phone. I just send it over to the hub, and we're watching it on that.
Yeah, and none of what you just described requires voice.
None of that requires voice. No, none of it.
Right. Yep. This is exactly where I want to be. I am right in the middle of pulling the trigger on all of this.
I started using Duo. Okay. So if I'm coming home and my kids love it. I know. My kids absolutely love it. I'm the only one.
You've just outed yourself as the only Duo user on Earth.
I am the only Duo user because
I have never met anyone who uses Duo. That means anything.
So nobody uses it. Okay. Right? It works great, but I'll use it because here it is. I'm using it. Because I call Duo, I call the house, and it rings on the Nest Hub, and my kids think it's Black Magic.
Right, because you can do well. By the way, that's one of the things you can do with your voice too. Is you could do a like a broadcast.
Yeah,
and it will go to every speaker in the house.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, all voice right, of fine. God stuff. It's good.
Yeah. So I want to talk about CES a little bit. We didn't really. Mm-hmm. We were kind of on the subject. We veered off into our rant about.
Yep, sorry.
Company spying on you. If you want, we can start talking about the Anunnaki next in our next segment. But
what I don't even know what that is.
The Anunnaki, Paul.
Mm-mm.
Yikes. Very disappointed in you that you don't know that we came from another planet called Nibiru, and these overlords are called the Anunnaki.
You were like this close to an intervention.
I told the story on What the Tech. I'm gonna save it on Mat Men. I'm gonna save it for What the Talk. I'm gonna save the story for What the Talk. I don't know if you have a list on Therat.com for what you like that stood out. I know you hate those top 10 lists.
No.
But CNET had one that when I went through it, it was more detailed than anybody else.
Okay. Oh my God. They were pretty heavily invested in.
Oh my God.
My God.
I would love to know how much they spent on this. Everybody was flown out there. They had no staff in New York. I don't know how anything got done. Everybody was out there for CNET, but they really went, and this list was not bad. So something that stood out that a lot of people were discussing, and I was surprised it got a lot of steam because I've seen this in the past, and I never thought it's something that we would want it. You know, people would want to take off. Yeah. But I'm looking at this. Alienware had a concept. It's called the UFO, and it's a Nintendo Switch-like device that's running Windows on it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this thing?
Yes.
So it's just a PC. It's a mini. It's a tiny display. It's an 8-inch display. You can remove the side. It clicks off. But essentially, it's a 8-inch PC. I don't have the total specs of this thing in front of me. I'm trying to find it. But you can connect it to Steam or whatever and just play games on that thing.
I mean, this is like using a Surface tablet to do the same thing, right? Except that it has the built-in controller if you want to do that.
Yeah. I'm curious about if this is going to take off because I saw a number of these devices. Razer also had one like this, and it seems like people like the form factor because they've seen the success.
Yeah, I don't know. Microsoft never made a portable Xbox anything for some reason. Sony's kind of came and went. Obviously, Nintendo is the market leader there. They've always done really well with that stuff. I've never understood why things didn't go differently on mobile. And now we have phones, and tablets. So maybe that's the problem. I don't know. It seems like if you want a gaming PC, you want a PC.
By the way, I absolutely love the Nintendo Switch. I'm telling you, I love this thing. I got one for Christmas. My wife just got it for me. And I cannot tell you how much fun I'm having playing on this stupid thing. And I'm playing Mario Kart. I'm playing Mario Odyssey. I'm playing Super Mario Deluxe Remastered. And then I downloaded all these remastered games like Castle Crashers Remastered and Cuphead.
Buckethead, the guitarist Buckethead. From Guns N' Roses.
I downloaded him and he just showed up.
Yep.
I'm having so much fun. But you know what's cool about it? Mm-hmm. My kids are young, right? My daughter's 4 and my son is almost 3.
Right.
They pick up the controller. And they play Mario Kart. They got the concept of it. They could do it.
Sure.
Which is interesting.
Those games, I think, speak to kids, too. Just the colors and the graphics. It's kind of like the time I introduced my children to Warner Brothers cartoons, like the Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner stuff. I mean, it's one of those things. They were like, they had never experienced this. And they were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. It's like, right, exactly. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think Nintendo kind of hits on that same level, right?
Which I love, you know, because I'm such a casual gamer at this point. I play World of Warcraft still, World of Warcraft Classic. And I just got into it. I hadn't played it for like 13
started
years.
Started the first Diablo.
And then Warcraft 3 is getting remastered. Okay. So I'm
we're
very
into
this.
Like movies in that way, isn't it? Like there's so many remakes now, and except they call them remastering. Like it's the same
but
game.
Why not? You know what? Why not?
No, I'm not complaining. It. Yeah.
So back to the CNET list here. The Impossible Pork. Impossible Pork.
Oh, the Impossible Pork, yeah.
Okay. I asked a lot of people that tried this.
Okay.
They were blown away how much it tastes like pork.
Yeah.
Here's
the problem. It's processed food.
It is all processed.
It is incredibly unhealthy. I mean, it sounds like you're eating vegetables instead of meat. That must be super healthy. The single worst thing you can do in any diet and just in eating is to eat processed food. This period. Well, actually, I would say sugary beverages is probably number one. Processed food is, and I guess think sugary beverages are processed food.
Yeah,
just don't eat processed food. That's the eat real food.
Yeah, listen, the Impossible Burger is not healthy for you. It is not healthy for you.
It's kind of a weird thing because my daughter's a vegetarian, right? So she's had Impossible Burger.
Oh,
and
what
things
does she
like
think
Impossible
of it?
She hates it.
Because
my
like
daughter is a vegetarian. She doesn't want to eat something that looks and tastes and feels like meat. She doesn't want that. That she is a vegetarian.
So my wife was a vegetarian for 2 years. Not ethical reasons. It was just a dietary thing. She was doing this diet, and then she kind of liked how she felt.
Yeah.
And she would still have a little bit, like she would have fish.
Yeah.
A little bit of fish sometimes. She would have a little bit of chicken.
To be a pescatarian, like Mary Jo Foley's a pescatarian,
it makes life so much easier.
Oh my God, it would make life so much easier.
But generally, she was a vegetarian, not a vegan vegetarian.
Yeah.
She would have eggs. She always had eggs.
Yep. Well, eggs are okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
We went to a steakhouse for my birthday. She's like a year and a half deep into this, and she's like, you know what? I'm gonna get a steak. I was like, really? She's like, we're at a steakhouse. I'm gonna get it.
She got sick.
She took one bite.
Yep.
She had to spit it out. She goes, oh my God, this is rancid. It tastes like metal.
If she had eaten it, she would have gotten sick. Like her body couldn't handle meat. That's one of the issues. Like
that was the problem. Her body, it tasted like metal to her. She's like, it just tastes like metal. I took a bite. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She couldn't have it. She ordered something else. But it's interesting. So I think if you're a vegetarian and you
vegetarians.
No,
right? So
no.
You have to understand, like the Impossible Burger and the Impossible Pork or whatever are for meat eaters who are normal people. Why did I say it like that? People who eat like a traditional diet who would like to eat healthier. But that's the problem. These things are not healthier.
No.
So it's like, it's not meat. Right. So, okay. So it's that if you want more of a plant-based diet or whatever, you should eat more plants, not more processed foods. These things are not healthy. The calories are just as bad or worse. The fact that it's processed means overall it's less healthy.
Or if you don't give a shit about your diet, and you're just ethically a vegetarian or vegan.
Yep.
You know?
But maybe again, if you're ethically doing that, I think unless you just started, you're not going to want to eat something that tastes like meat.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I think it's a step. It's an important step. They need to figure out a way to do this where it's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Well, it's like
we got veggie burgers.
It's the vaping of the food world. Yeah,
it's
better for
very
you than smoking, but it's not good for you. So it's like, in matter of degrees, I guess it's better, but the truth is it'd be better if you just didn't eat it.
The Impossible Burger. The vaping of eating.
Yeah, that's like what it is.
TCL had a foldable phone. People were talking about. Let's see what else.
Well, let's pause briefly on foldable phones, because foldable phones are to phones what vinyl is to music. It is a silly hipster fad that is just... I mean, the old flip phone thing. Like, I think there's a future for dual screen, not really dual screen, but we'll call them folding screen devices, where the screen folds. because you can pocket it and have a bigger screen when it's out.
Hmm.
I think there's some sense to that. But this, you know, the Motorola Razr or whatever they're called, or the little, you know, bringing back like a StarTAC type phone. No.
It's a gimmick. You know what? Actually, out of all the phones, I kind of like that one the best aesthetically.
Because you are a hipster.
I am. What do you want from me?
I knew it. You have a turntable, don't you?
I do have vinyls, yeah. I have a lot of vinyls. I got a lot of Beatles, and I got a whole bunch of vinyls. I never use it, but I have one.
Okay.
I also don't like a 9-to-5 job. I make bizarre career choices for me. I do podcasting, generally with men that are 30 years older than me.
Wow. Wow. How old do you think I am?
I mean, you may be 30 years older than me.
I don't think I'm 30 years older than you. What are you talking about?
I'm 35. Aren't you 65?
I'm 53. I'm less than 20 years older than you. Jeez.
You're not 60, Paul?
No, I'm not. I know I act like I am.
Wow.
I get up from this chair and I'm holding my back as I limp away.
My wife one time goes to me, she goes, "You have a lot of older male friends." I'm like, "What does that mean?"
Exactly. There's a conversation you want to have with your wife.
I was like, "What does that mean?"
She said accusatorily.
She's like, "I don't know. Paul and you and Spencer and your friend Bob." I was like, "Maybe I got a type. Maybe that's what it is.
You have a type.
Maybe I have a type. Maybe I'm going to call Leo and see if he wants to be my friend. I'm going to call 8888 Ask Leo on Saturday and ask him. Maybe I have a type." Chris Tobin, Kirk, they're older.
Did you ever watch the show Killing Eve?
No.
So watch it. It's fantastic.
Is it about having male companions?
Actually the two main characters are two women, but it is about having, part of it's about having a type, and someone is trying to describe, they're speaking in French, but they're describing this older guy, and the woman doesn't know the word in English, so she says he's an ours, and that's a bear in French. I was like, that was the type, you know, in this case, and I was like, yeah, and you, as you were talking, I'm like, that's your type.
I got a type. All right. The August Wi-Fi smart lock was also on the list, and a lot of people were praising this. It's a really nice looking smart lock. So I have. Do you have a smart lock or no?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I have the, not a Nest, but it's like part of that family. I forgot what it's called. It's part of like the that whole group. Yeah. Let me see. Nest.
I could see that. That's something I could see doing.
The Yale. I have the Yale.
Oh, wow. Okay. So kind of a classic lock company.
Yeah. But I have the Nest Yale.
Okay. Oh, it's called a Nest Yale?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really? A Google Nest, but it's made by Yale.
That's interesting. I didn't know they did that.
And I absolutely love it. It's great. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's actually, I had a different smart lock before this, and I absolutely hate it. And I got this one, and I actually really like, because it actually works right. And it alerts me if I didn't lock my door for more than X amount of time.
I like the idea. Like this one, I could picture doing this.
And it has something called a privacy mode, where if I hit the privacy mode, you can't put your pin in to try to get in the house.
Yeah,
which I kind of like.
Right.
But they were on.
Stalkers out.
They were on there. Paul is a Gen Xer. Are you a Gen Xer? Are you?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know. Paul is the Simpson.
That sounded
generation,
like an accusation.
Young.
Paul is a Gen Xer. Jerk.
Did you see what Paul was doing? I found out he's a Gen Xer. The Lenovo had a foldable laptop. What did you think of that?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that stuff. I think that in the PC space, obviously, the big thing this year was these folding and dual screen devices. I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean, I'm interested, but I don't know. I don't personally see the utility of it.
I'm just going down this list. Suncast is asking, am I doing What the Talk? I said, yes, I am, which we'll begin in a little bit. The personal massager, the Laura, is on everybody's list. I'm
the
curious how much
massager.
Money this, a person, Paul. Paul, a personal massager. An intimate
massager. This sounds like a sex toy.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know that this was a big thing at CES this year, and I look, in the sense that I am obviously replaceable, I have no problem with this.
But I find it funny that it's a tech device now. It's being considered technology.
But of course it is, right? I mean, in many ways, that industry has driven technology more than any other market, you know, I mean, yeah, over the years. So, sure.
There was a, there's an article, I got to pull it up, but there was an article I read like 2 years ago, and it was what YouTube learned from porn. Oh, and geez. How to do, and it was about the early building out of YouTube, right? Like right. pre-Google or right when Google purchased, and what they learned from like the number one sites, which were porn sites. So how they were able to create the service to have the volume and what they learned from it. I thought it was a while ago I read that article, but you may have a point there. All right, we're going to do What the Talk today. Guys, if you like the show, you've been with us for a while. I know we got a bunch of people watching. We got a couple hundred people watching across all our platforms. Do us a favor. First of all, if you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. I'm going to give you the plug. Hey, guys, Andrew here. Remember to subscribe and like the video. Make sure you hit the bell for notifications. Did I do that one good?
I cannot. That phrase or any variant of it is when I stop watching
a
YouTube
channel. Don't tell me to hit the bell.
Ring the bell and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, my God, stop.
Hey, guys, you know, because of YouTube's algorithm, we're not getting so many subscribers anymore. So make sure you ding that bell for notifications. I could have been a YouTuber in
my life. That's the last thing anyone wants to do.
Nobody wants to ding the bell. I've never dung the bell. But if you enjoy the show, subscribe to us. It's a huge help. We're going to hit, I think by the end of the year, we might hit 10,000 YouTube subscribers, which is amazing considering we don't do YouTube-style content. We just do long-form podcasts, and we just have a video element, which I love doing. So you can hit the subscribe button here. Also, we're everywhere podcasts are available, so subscribe to us. And if you really love us, you can go to patreon.com/whatthetech and fund us there. As little as $1 per week gives you access to our bonus show that we record each and every week. It could be anything from technology to me talking about the Anunnaki and conspiracy theories to Paul just ranting about his house. So
I was just thinking about you this morning.
Where are you? I think about you in the morning, too.
Yeah, right. I was taking a shower. No, I was I don't always do this, but sometimes I'll watch parts of a movie while I'm on the treadmill or the elliptical thing. And I just finished watching a movie, and I was kind of scrolling through my list of stuff like, what do I want to watch next? And I was watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right?
Okay.
And of course, the version you get now on like a video service is like the version that's been kind of, it's got all this additional footage added back to it and everything. It's things like almost 3 hours long. It's a really big movie, but I was watching the beginning of it, like say the first 30 minutes. And I was like, Andrew would love this movie. This is like, if this movie had come out when Andrew was a child,
what, Close Encounters,
this would have been
the
only thing you ever talked about.
What, Close Encounters?
Yeah.
I've seen it 1,000 times. One of my favorite movies.
I haven't watched it in forever. I mean, like I was a kid when it came out, and it was a big deal for sure. But I'm watching it now, and I'm like, this is really well made. Like it was really well made. Yeah.
Had the little it didn't have the little robots that flew around, right?
Yeah, the cute one that goes through the thing last, and then makes all the toll booths go off or whatever.
You know what? I haven't watched this movie in so long.
You should watch it again if you haven't seen it in a while.
I may watch it again. You know
what's
funny?
I think you'll enjoy it quite a bit.
Well, I was wrapping it up, but I do want to say people are going to be so confused now because whenever I start ending the show, they actually turn off the show. And then I get an email saying like, dude, I just turned it off. And now I'm hearing that you guys spoke about this.
Yeah, you went on for 10 more minutes.
Yeah. So on my Fire TV, and this is something I want to talk about. On my Fire TV, I put the Apple TV app.
Yep, I did too.
Dude, that's all I'm using now. I'm just renting movies on there.
But you know what? You've seen the problem, right?
The problem is you got to do it on your phone.
What do you mean?
So you can't, I can't go in the app, for example, the Apple TV app on the Fire TV.
Oh, and buy something or rent
something. I have to purchase it on my phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is a problem. That's the other problem. But you know what the other one is?
No, what?
You don't get the extra features.
Like what?
So if you bought like a movie from Apple, mm-hmm, you don't get any of the extra features. All you can do is watch the movie.
What are some of the extra features?
Well, it's like when you buy a Blu-ray or a DVD or whatever.
I only rent them.
Oh, okay. So you know, I mean, for me, like, there are movies that I really care about, like Close Encounters. Like, I'd have to go look, but I mean, I bet they have like a director's commentary track, and they might have alternate versions of the movie and behind the scene documentaries and blah blah blah. And that stuff is only available if you're on the Apple device.
Interesting. Okay, but I have to tell you,
I use it a lot. We just watched Servant last night, for example.
Which on what?
Great,
on,
by the way, really good TV series.
What do you on what on the Apple on Apple?
On Apple, yeah, it's the M. Night Shyamalan thing.
But through so, a different through a through the Fire TV or Roku or Fire Apple TV. Okay, Fire TV.
It's I on love Apple, the Fire but TV, I watch it on Fire TV.
I absolutely love the Fire TV. That is my favorite. The Fire TV is my favorite platform to watch stuff.
So
on.
I'm using it now too.
See, you were a Roku guy.
Yeah, and I you know what though? In keeping with what I said earlier about Google and listening and blah blah blah. I mean, I got to be honest. Like one of the problems I have with the Amazon thing is it's tied to Amazon, and so I find like I'm only using like a Fire TV stick, you know, over Ethernet. I think the performance is great. I actually prefer the UI to Roku. Roku has like ads in it, which are gross. Not that Amazon doesn't, but they just seem better integrated. Like the Roku interface is just kind of garbage.
They haven't evolved.
No, really. They really haven't. It's I would pay them not to have ads. I don't understand what's going on.
No, I love the Fire TV. I have one that's kind of, you know, I have, I play around with that one, and I have like emulators and stuff on there as like a toy. Mm-hmm. I did it like as a project. And then the other one's just, I didn't sideload anything, just regular apps. And between YouTube TV and now with Apple TV on there, it's literally everything I'm watching.
Yeah.
But I may rent a movie because Justin and I got into renting movies. We rented, what did we rent recently? We rented
Joker.
Rent
from Amazon. I mean, why bother going through your phone? Like, you can just rent directly.
I don't know. I started renting it on there because sometimes I stop and I go downstairs.
I see.
So I kind of like that I have that crossover.
Yeah. Okay. What? No, I do everything through Apple too. I'm just trying to, you know, as far as if I'm going to buy something or rent it, I go through Apple. Yeah.
So we rented Joker.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Joker and then we watched Hustlers.
Hustlers, jeez.
I mean, it's kind of appropriate,
sure,
for me to watch.
Right, it's not a documentary, Andrew. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're kind of a conspiracy theorist now.
Wait a minute, is it not a documentary, that movie? I thought it was.
Right.
I thought that was a documentary. All right, guys. So if you enjoy the show and you want us to continue doing it, obviously thanks to our sponsors, and of course thanks to you guys that sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. You could go there, sign up. $4 a month. That's it. It helps us out. It keeps the lights on. You know, Paul got a beautiful haircut. He looks handsome. It's all because of you. He's using new products.
Products?
Yeah, new hair products, face products. You know, we're trying to stay youthful for you guys in this generation of technology.
You thought I was 30 years older than you. What kind of products do you think I'm using?
At least. Listen, Paul's Botox is very expensive, guys.
Oh, my God.
We need to do this. All right, guys. If you're watching this live, stay tuned. What the Talk comes up right now. If not, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. Follow us there. Check us out there. Also, @TheRod on Twitter, @AndrewZarian on Twitter. We'll see you all next time. Take care.